Here, the old gods are dead.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, yo, this is a Creepy Wee Podcast. I'm Rebecca with Liam.
Ciao, Bella.
Where have you been, Liam?
Oh, wow. So, coincidentally, I've actually been in Italy, in Torino. Did you know Eurovision was there this year? I didn't know until I was there. Then Nereus was like, Eurovision was here this year. And I was like, oh.
I knew it was in Italy, but I didn't think it was in Torino.
I know.
Paying attention.
You think they pick somewhere like... bigger.
Where there was the like £9 flights gone.
Me on my Ryanair bullshit. I thought the plane was broken. I've never been on a Ryanair flight before. Like, I've been on EasyJet and stuff, like equivalents, but I didn't realize how noisy they were. And I was like, we're going down. It's happening.
Happy Pride Month.
Hi, gay. Oh, on the note of being in Italy, speaking of insufferable groups, there was this guy who, like, on the way back was, like, just walking down the aisle. The fasten seatbelt sign was on. Him and this woman who was, like, doing, like, lunges down the aisle. I was so confused. And they were supposed to be sitting beside each other. But then he went to talk to these guys at the front of the plane. And I thought they were friends. But then, you know that way Scottish men, like, bully people by being friendly with them?
My dad.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah. You're like, oh, yeah. And then what happened? That kind of bullying. But he was so drunk. And I was like, it's kind of his own fault. He reminded me of my sister's ex-boyfriend. He was really annoying. But yeah, the fasten seatbelt time was on. We were hitting turbulence. And he was like shaking his vodka coke around. And I was like, maybe this is a sign to stop drinking, babe.
Maybe this is a sign to return to your seat.
Yeah. We touched down. And he's right behind me in the queue to go through customs. And I was like, okay. Work. And he kept saying the most like NPC phrases, like, you know when drunk people start saying like, well, faster in Italy, blah blah blah. And like, he was like sort of like every time I moved my head, he was like swaying into my periphery, like he wanted me to engage. And I was like, oh, time to look over here. And I was like, do I pretend I'm Italian and cannot speak to him? Like, it would be worth it at this point. Anyway, that was not ideal. But the rest of the holiday was fun. I would recommend it.
Yeah, I would like to go to Italy. I've not been. Tennent's Super is the drink of choice in Italy.
Yeah.
I've heard from multiple sources that Tennent's Super, because it's the booziest and the cheapest beer, and they sell it in glass bottles. Like, here, Tennent's Super's like nasty and it's in tins. And I do really like Tennent's.
It was Tennent's. So good. It tasted like gasoline, but it was so good.
Bet. Tennent's Super, like gasoline.
I had a bottle of super tea and a box of €1.80 red wine.
Oh, hi. Mind you were texting me and you were like, I'm floating on red wine. I was like, love. I was like, are you all right? Because Liam doesn't actually drink that much. Wine's different, though. When I was in France, I can't even remember being in France because it was like so hot and we were just drinking like the cheapest boxes and bottles of wine.
So hot.
Ugh. It's like drugs.
Yeah.
It genuinely is.
Well, babe,
Well,
it is a drug.
It is a drug. Well,
actually,
I'm denying. No, to be fair, I actually stayed in this weekend. So it was hot this weekend in Scotland.
Yeah, my face.
I don't know
dry.
If anybody out with Scotland actually listens to this podcast, but I texted Liam and I was like, oh my God, it's sunny. I'm no doing fuck all. I'm out to get burnt. And serves me right, because I can
did.
No longer, I can no longer sit properly because the backs of my legs, and I've got like really sensitive Scots-Irish skin, and the backs of my legs are like inflamed for the sunburn that I've got, like straight melanoma. And it's what I deserve, what it fully is. And every year I do this and I'm like, oh, I'll just get like a wee bit of colour about me, it'll be fine.
And like, then you have like, a new mole.
a new mole in red skin. And by a wee bit of colour, I'm like fully expecting me to develop a tan, and it's just like bright red, unattractive. Oh,
to be true.
I've seen Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Don't say anything, I'm seeing it tomorrow.
I'm not going to say, well, the rock scene. If anybody's seen it, like, agree that it's the best film you've ever seen. I can't wait to, like, hear your thoughts on it. But, like, genuinely, I was like, whoa. I was like, no, I've never seen a better film in the cinema. And I kind of say that about every film I go to see in the cinema, but this is it.
Did you see Jamie Lee Curtis on Instagram just slagging Doctor Strange the Multiverse of Madness? And was like, well, it's not the best multiverse film out right now.
I didn't think Jamie Lee Curtis was in it. I didn't think anything about it. And then, like, the first scene that she's in, I was like, is that Jamie Lee Curtis? And was sat for, it took me like 5 minutes to decipher if it actually was her or not. And then like she properly speaks in their Jamie Lee Curtis accent, and I was like, yep.
It
was amazing. The dad in it is Data for the Goonies and like Short Round for the Indiana Jones films, and he's not been anything in decades.
That's a child actor disappeared.
Aye. And I was like, I really recognize him. And then he starts like waving about like a belt, and I was like, that's Data. He did.
How's your Pride Month been so far? Okay.
This is the gayest thing that I've done. this Pride Month. What did I have? I watched anything gay? Have I watched any content? I actually haven't. I've just been rewatching the X-Files, which I suppose is a perfect way to celebrate. Yeah. Bisexual culture is like loving the X-Files.
Yeah, happy Pride Month to all who celebrate. Watch the X-Files. I've had a gutted, rotted Pride Month so far, because my first day back at work from my holiday, Glamazon by RuPaul comes on the work playlist. And I'm not kidding. One of my colleagues came up to me and said, happy Pride Month. Now to me, that's targeted harassment.
Is it like radio that plays?
What company?
Or like, oh, is it blank radio that plays? I'll bleep that.
Yeah. No, there's a little gay boy that runs this account, because even when it's not Pride Month, I'm like, whatever song has been the Drag Race lip sync that week on the playlist.
It's like that in Asda's. Anytime I walk into the Asda's where I live, like, it's always Kylie Minogue that plays as I walk in. And I'm like, clearly this isn't just for me. Like, it must be like a wee gay boy that's doing Asda radio. And for the very popular chicken restaurant that I used to work for, obviously they just put these music. Oh wait, I've already doxed myself. I used to work in Nando's with Holly, and they only play Portuguese music. And I mind one night I was in the toilet, like cleaning the toilets, I wasn't just skiving, and the music plays really loudly in the toilets, and I was just like wiping the mirrors or something, and like Portuguese / South African fusion music cover of La Isla Bonita by Madonna. And it was the best thing I've ever heard. Like, I can't find it anywhere. But I was like, is this Madonna? And I was like, clearly this was made just for me.
You were like, yes. And you shook your maracas.
I was.
That sounds like a coming close to heaven moment. I can't lie. Did you ever find the song? Did you find the
cover? I can't find it. But I was like dancing like Scarlett Johansson and Marriage Story kind of in the toilets by myself. Very good toilets. Aye, that. Very good toilets to be hungover in, I will say, in the Nando's toilets, because they're cubicles that have got like full walls, and you lock the door and it's like you're in your Amy room. So whenever I was hungover, I'd like go in and like lean against like the cold wall and just die in there. And
everything's embarrassing. Just like living your life.
One time I had really bad alcohol poisoning on a shift in Nando's, and I was like, no, you just have to let me go home. Then what I had drank the night before, 4 Coronas in the space of 5 hours, and I got alcohol poisoning.
Maybe you're just like allergic to gluten.
So, anyways, no, I am. I know I am. But like, anyways, so this is our 20th episode.
Oh, happy 20.
Happy 20.
Wait, do we have a spooky haul?
Shit.
I will say, on the topic of last week's spooky haul, while I was doing reading for this episode, which is about Scottish folklore and customs, part mm-hmm. 2, Electric Boogaloo, I found out that, you know how the big cat thing is like a thing in Scotland? So like mm-hmm. the earliest recorded like big black cat in Scotland is 1930, but like verbal tales go back to the 1700s. So this is just a persistent folklorish creature.
Love. I wonder if we've got, I've got a book, Catherine Briggs Encyclopedia of Fairies and Goblins and whatnot. She's got like every single fairy creature ever possible. So like, I wonder if she's got big black cats.
There's a fairy called the Cat Seer, which is like a, there's the Coosia as well, which is a dog version of it. But they're like a cat that steals children to the fairy realm.
Very relevant to this.
Catherine episode. Briggs have fucking nothing on me. Catherine Briggs has fucking no- I know this shit
okay,
myself.
Okay, get a big deal then. Get a big deal. Do it. Do it. Get us a big deal. But like Liam says, we're doing Scottish Customs and Superstitions part 2 because it's our 20th episode and our favourite episode, or my favourite episode. Don't know if it's yours today, but
episode as well.
But episode 3, How the Mighty Fall, because we're having to crawl back to our 3rd episode to get more content. Imagine no Dana good enough episode since episode 3. To yourself, though. Other people have had like favourite episodes since then that they've told me about, and I'm like, right, well, it's not episode 3, though, is it?
Someone said our last episode was their favourite, like, best one to date. One of my friends was like, this is my favourite one, and I was like, okay.
We spoke about Kelpies for literally 15 minutes. There just isn't enough content. Anyway, since we've been blathering for like 15 minutes, we'll take a wee break and then we'll come back and we'll tell you about some folklore surrounding some plants and fairies and stuff, and we swear it's good.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So, Liam Nielsen has arrived in a ball gown to the next part of this episode.
We're recording this as we wait for to see if Boris Johnson's getting a vote of no confidence or no. And Theresa May apparently turned up in a ball gown to to the no, vote no confidence.
Teresa the May. Right. She said it's Pride Month, I'm going camp.
I thought I'd start off with a ookier spookier custom. And this one is something that we might have all heard about before, and it's changelings. So it's a child that's been kidnapped by the fae and then is swapped out for a double. Fairies kidnapping human children is one of the oldest parts of fairy beliefs and is a specific form of fairy theft. So fairy theft.
Me when I go section, to paper chase.
There's a whole section. Me. There's a whole section in the book on fairy theft, and it's like them, like, kind of, it'll be like Bruni's like nicking stuff for your house and that, and then like the rest of it's like kidnapping your children and your animals. It's kind of like Rumpelstiltskin, how he steals or wants to steal that bitch's baby. And by that bitch, I mean Miss Piggy. Everyone watch The Muppets Fairy Tales.
It is really good.
So mentions of thefts of babies by the fae are found in medieval, Elizabethan, Jacobean records and right up to the beginning of the 20th century. Fairies would typically steal unchristened children because they are not given proper protection for fairies and devils and stuff. And they would take them right out of the cradle and then, as I say, leave a substitute in its place. And changelings could be in various kinds. So sometimes it was made out of wood that had been roughly whittled into a childlike shape and endowed by a glamour spell to give the temporary appearance a life. This is called a stock, like wood stock. As the glamour spell wore off, it would give the appearance of death and then the wood baby would be buried. So it's, my assumption is that the glamour spell is like something only the parents can see.
Yeah.
And then when it fades away, it doesn't look like wood. It looks like a dead baby. Changelings are quite horrible, actually. The stock method was usually used when fairies had plots against the mother as well as the child. More often, the changeling would be an ancient withered fairy of no more use to the fairy tribe and would be willingly led to an easy life, being cherished, fed, and carried around by its anxious foster mother. Like, the fairies would be like,
culture.
They would be like, right, you're old and you're a nuisance, so we're going to go kidnap a baby, put you in its place, and then you'll get taken care of. And the fairy would be like, sound, like, sounds good to me. I'll go
the
do
Spanish
that.
Government actually modeled everything off of the fairies.
So did the UK government, apparently. There's a good example, though, of a stock being used in a fae folktale in Shetland. The wife of a Shetland crofter had just given birth to her first child, and as her husband was folding his lambs in the field, he heard three loud knocks coming from underground. He closed the gates and walked through the cornyard, and as he came through the stacks, he heard a loud voice say three times, "Mind the crooked finger." And his wife had a crooked finger. So he had a hunch that the Grey Neighbours, which is a name for the fae in Shetland, were planning an attack on his wife and his newborn baby. So the man knew what to do, and he quickly went to the house, lit a candle, took a knife and a Bible and opened it. And as he did that, he heard a loud wailing break out in the byre, which is another word for cowshed.
Yeah.
Which was built up against his house. So he sticks the knife between his front teeth, so the blade's pointing out his mouth for some reason. Because there's... And then he held the candle in one hand and the open Bible in the other and ran towards the byre, followed by his actual neighbours, not the Grey Neighbours, his actual neighbours who were visiting his wife. So there's a crowd there, they're all watching this happen. So he flings it on the byre door, knife in mouth, candle in hand, Bible in hand. He throws the Bible inside, and as he does that, the screaming inside the byre gets louder, and with a great rush, a crowd of fairies speed past him. He doesn't like say any verses for the Bible, he just throws the Bible at them, and then they boost. And the light as well just makes them want to run. So they like leave behind a wooden stock, which was carved feature by feature and joint by joint in the fairy's wife. He lifted it up and carried it into the house and said, "I've won this from the Grey Neighbours, and I'll make it serve my turn." And for years afterwards, he used the image of his wife as a chopping block. and his wife was never harmed by the fairies again.
Not a chopping block.
So obviously this story is a changeling. Like, the fairies didn't want to create a changeling of their baby, they wanted the wife. So yeah. If adults were successfully swapped out for wood carvings of themselves, they would appear to be suffering for a stroke. That's what normal people would see. So they would be stiff and rigid. So it feels like this piece of folklore is like trying to explain like what strokes look like before we knew what like actual strokes were.
The fairy did it.
But adults were only ever stolen for a quality that they possessed. So this man's wife must have been talented in some sort of way.
Or pretty.
And yeah, or pretty. So that's when children are stolen by fairies. It's either to pay a debt to the devil or to reinforce the fairy stock, or it's for their beauty. And that could be said for adults as well. But that kind of sums up changelings. We might do them in like another episode in more detail, but what's your next custom or superstition, Liam?
Okay, so I'm going to talk about chatting birds because I love them. I just love...
me.
Pardon me. Me growing up as soon as you mentioned yourself. Exactly.
I'm actually editing that out.
Okay. So in Celtic mythology, specifically within Scottish folklore, birds play a central role in many aspects of animal worship. Like, totems and stuff are very big in Celtic folklore as well. Yeah. It was believed widely that many birds, specifically chats, such as the robin or the stone chat, acted as messengers from other worlds, be that the fairy realm or the afterlife, aka the other world. Trickling down from these ancient beliefs, we can still see Celtic impact on some of modern folklore and beliefs we still have. So as I mentioned, robins, which are chats, meaning they're small songbirds with fine bills and slender legs. The robin is an iconic image with its fawn-coloured back and bright red breast. I was going to say blood orange, but then I remembered, like, you know that episode of Project Runway. Fucking blood orange, it's red. Stop being so pretentious. But it is blood orange, but we don't want to talk about that.
Just say red.
Just say red. Me when someone asks what the best Taylor Swift album is. Just say red. I feel like that was a Tumblr.
That was just a whole section of Tumblr power there.
Anyway, in contemporary culture, robins are associated with Christmas, often appearing on cards, wrapping paper. But it is common belief in Scottish culture, likely as a spawn of like old Celtic culture. These birds are messages from loved ones who have passed on. Often you will hear the phrase, when a robin appears, a loved one is near, or something to that description. This allows many people to take comfort that the bird is sent from a dead loved one to tell you that they're watching over you.
I fully believe that.
Yeah.
I do that all the time.
And it's very nice, like, because at winter time, you know, people who don't have a lot of family are very sad. And you see a lot of robins. It's a very nice thing to take solace in.
One of my mum's friends who recently passed away got, because she knew she was ill, she got everybody who was a pallbearer at her funeral, she got them little robin pins, and she got her granddaughters them as well. And her granddaughter's a friend of mine as well. And my mum still wears her wee pin for Meg. And every time I see a robin, I'm just like, oh, it must be her. It was so nice. It was a nice service. But it was so cute. Everybody was wearing their wee robin pins for her. Because she was a very, very, very spiritual woman. And she really believed in that. No, I know. You were talking about robins and I'm sorry.
This is a sad episode, okay, guys? We're talking about kidnapped babies and dead people. Yeah. So, on the other hand, there are stone chats, which take residency ubiquitously throughout Scotland. These birds are easily identifiable, where the males have a jet black back and a red breast. And they actually like look like if you showed a child a picture of a robin and said, make a cool, like, like dark evil version of this. Like, they look
like a gothy robin.
It's like Shadow and Sonic the Hedgehog. Or like, you know, in like Scott Pilgrim versus the World, where he has to fight like Nega Scott at the end. Very that. And it's quite fitting how they look like balanced counterparts, because in Scottish folklore, these birds have been tied to the devil. Ooh. And it is believed that chattering birds of these kind use their call to communicate with the devil and help him like undergo his ungodly tasks on earth.
How many servants does this cunt need?
Literally,
like we've already spoke about several.
I know.
And I'm about to mention a flower that is like every hand in we were texting each other earlier, and I was like, you said something about the devil, and I was like, Scottish folklore really does love to attribute everything to devils. Satanic panic was happening in Scotland way before it was happening everywhere else.
Oh yeah, it hit us early. It is believed in Scottish folklore that disrupting the nest of these birds can be disastrous for the perpetrator, as is highlighted in a Scottish rhyme, which I'm going to get Becca to read because it's a different dialect of Scots to what I can speak.
Let's hope that I can say it. Stan chak, devil tak, the wa harry my nest, will never rest, we'll meet the pest, deal brak, the lang back, wa my eggs, wad tak tak.
Which I love, because basically it's saying like, the devil's gonna get you, Yeah, so like disrupting their nest means they'll call the devil and get him to break your back, basically.
Love.
And I like that there's just elements of language. The onomatopoeia at the end, like the wad tak tak is the call, their call. That's the noise they make. So that's kind of pussy slay. There's actually other lore that says that like if a stone chat leaves its nest, a toad will come and sit on its eggs and hatch them. Kind of like, you know that episode of The Simpsons?
Shut up!
You know that episode of The Simpsons, but it's like the opposite way around where the bird is sitting in the lizard nest. Bury that.
That's such an obscure reference to The Simpsons.
I can
10 points if anybody can tell us what episode that is without Googling it.
Some say the orange mark on the chest of the stone chat is blood from the devil that it carries around with it everywhere. So beware interfering with these birds. That's that on that.
That's that on that. Well, following along like a similar nature-y vein, I thought I'd talk about gorse. So gorse is the yellow, bushy, sweet-smelling plant that you'll often find on hills and farmland. In my experience, it kind of smells like coconut. It's like quite a sweet smell.
I agree.
Because it used to be like everywhere around the farms where I grew up. So officially it's called gorse, but generally in Scotland it's known as whin. Whin is also the 17th letter of the ancient Celtic alphabet.
Oh, I didn't know that. Slay. Yeah.
I didn't even know there was a Celtic alphabet. So in Argyll and elsewhere, whin is associated with Caliach, or the goddess of winter. To refresh your memories, on the spring equinox of Beltana, Caliach turns to stone to make way for the spring and summer. And before she does this, she throws her mountain-making staff or hammer and she throws it underneath a gorse bush to keep it safe. Because if it's under a gorse bush, as I'll get on to explain, it'll definitely be covered.
Yeah.
Like there's no getting rid of gorse.
I once crawled through a gorse bush and I had like scars all up my arms.
I fell into one. It's not very, it's quite a, it's not like prickly or spiky. It's just really tightly wound.
Yeah.
No, there is wee pricks on it, on the flowers. anyway, wee pricks me. but when she wakes up on Samhain, because it's been underneath the gorse bush, she just clicks it right back up and then winter begins again. Gorse is a fast-growing member of the pea family. As I say, it has sweet-smelling bright yellow flowers. And in Celtic mythology, gorse was thought to provide protection against misfortune and is associated with resilience, optimism, sun, light, and fire. Sun and light, because it's obviously bright yellow, but it grows, it travels towards the sun when it grows, like mace plants, but it's quite ferocious when it grows. It's associated with fire, though, because the gorse bush is, the wood on it is soaked in natural oils, meaning that it's very highly flammable and it burns at a high temperature, much more like coal rather than like other woods that burn at like lower temperatures. Gorse was highly valued during the festival of Beltana for the intense fire it creates when burnt. So it's typical for during, if you ever go to a Beltana festival, or Beltane, depending on your persuasion, they'll typically have big bonfires made of gorse bushes. Because gorse is a seeker of sunlight and warmth, when it's destroyed either by man or nature, gorse is quick to grow back. It can grow up to 3 metres tall, completely filling out a hillside or an open field within only a few years, and if covered, gorse will spread and move because it forever chases the sun.
Yeah.
So because of this, it's associated with resilience in Scotland and Ireland. And I think there's a thing in Irish folklore that people would either pin the gorse flowers or gorse twigs onto their chest, on their clothes, so that they would be protected. That's that on gorse. I do have another flower to talk about, but Liam, do you want to go with your next custom?
Yeah, speaking of flowers, white heather is what I'm going to be talking about. Oh, yeah. As far as Scottish plants go, heather is probably like the most popular bar the thistle. Like it's the most iconic, if you will.
Will you go, lassie go, etc.
Yeah, exactly. Typically, when you think of Scottish heather, you're likely to think of like the purple variant, which if you've ever taken a train to the Highlands in early summer or early autumn when it's known to bloom, you'll be very familiar with because it just encapsulates the whole hillside. So interspersed between the standard purple variety of heather in Scotland, it's not unheard of to come across a white heather plant now and again. And the white heather plays a significant part in Scottish folklore. Much like the four-leaf clover of Ireland, the Scottish white heather is associated with good luck. This plant is said to protect whoever possesses a sprig of it. Queen Victoria was even aware of this element of Scottish folklore. And in fact, it has been said that she was a big fan of like Scottish traditions. Like she was like, oh, these uncivilized plebs are so cute with their silly little witch stuff. Oh,
let's gentrify. Let's Balmoralism.
Yeah, so once she saw one of her servants who was like, she was familiar with, he was like always on hand with her, I don't know. But he jumped out of their carriage to pick a piece of white heather, and she actually wrote, as no Highlander would pass by without picking it, for it was considered to bring good luck, which led to the belief becoming more popular in areas outside of Scotland as well. So people elsewhere might have heard of this too.
Can't criticise her for that.
Exactly. She's so right for that.
She is.
Even a broken clock is right twice a day. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so as I said, similar to the four-leaf clover, it's probably likely that white heather became like, got this like myth of luck about it because it's so rare compared to like its more common variant. There's also lore behind it that says like heather grows wherever blood was spilt in clan warfare, and white heather only grows where there was no blood. So it's very lucky because no one died there.
Very little blood spilled in the Highlands then.
I wonder why. It is still custom for wedding parties to don like white heather as part of like a groom's boutonniere, is that what it's called, on the lapel. So like very common for that, for like good luck, for how it goes, and the bride will often have it in her bouquet in Scottish weddings.
Well, we'd be remiss. That's my favourite thing to say or hear podcasters say is like, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention thistles.
We would not be doing a good job if we did not tell you this. Underpaid about liberal arts teacher. I would be absolutely remiss.
Well, I would be absolutely remiss if I didn't tell you about thistles. So all my research for this wee bit comes from a book called The Language of Flowers by Mandy Kirby. It's a really, really good book. It tells you about like, so it's a collection of plants. Each plant's got like a meaning behind it. Kind of like if you were doing like a funeral, you would use lilies because it represents like mourning, or like purple hyacinths represent forgiveness, etc. Like, so if you fell out with like your partner, you would give them a purple hyacinth to be like, oh my, please forgive me, please forgive me. So that's the language of flowers. Everybody got it? Good. So in this book, thistles represent misanthropy, which is a dislike for humankind. So there's very little that's inviting about a thistle. Its leaves are coarse and prickly, and if they brush it against you, you risk getting a cut or a graze. And if you step on one barefoot, it would be unbearable.
I have done this.
Did you have to pick the wee spiky zoot?
I didn't really get stuck, but the whole thing was kind of like
crunched into your foot.
Yeah, this was like at like a summer wedding, and they had it in like some estate thing. And I was like,
that's what you get for taking your shoes off, you tink.
I was like 7 years old. I was running in the
I said
field
what I said.
I was running in the field of wheat. Okay, so you're going to talk to me about decorum right now. Let go.
So the purple flowerhead aphthisms is... It has like a sweet fragrance and it's much loved by butterflies and bees, but it is guarded, as we said, by a cup of fierce spikes. The thistle clearly has grown in a way that discourages grazing animals from eating it. Allowed to grow freely, the thistle is hard to eradicate, and if it's cut, it'll grow back stronger. When Adam and Eve were expelled from Eden, God said to Adam, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all thy days of thy life. Thorns also, and thistles it shall bring forth to thee." I don't know what he meant by that.
it was a nice sweet excerpt. We went biblical. We went very biblical today. In our trad era.
Trad waves. We're in our girl defined era.
We were because in our girl interrupted era. And now we're in our girl defined era.
So because of this bit of the Bible, it is a popular belief that the thistle is a cursed plant and was a gift from the devil. So it's no much of a stretch to see how it represents misanthropy. Tough and durable and defiant against aggressors, the thistle embodies qualities that Scots saw in their cells, and the flower became the national emblem. There's a very well-known legend of a Viking warrior who stood on a thistle, and his cry of pain alerted sleeping Scottish clansmen just in time to hold back the Vikings' attack. There's also a chivalric order called the Order of the Thistle, which was founded by King James VII, which has a motto, Nemo me impune lacet. I don't know, it's Latin, so that might be wrong, but it means no one harms me without punishment, which evokes the prickly, aggressive nature of the plant. So the last thing that I want to talk about for something a wee bit more weird that you might know Ken about is the customs that surround spit in Scotland. I'm here for the marketer in me is like in for the spit kink, like Google search. So human spit has always been believed to have contained healing and magical properties.
It does. There's enzymes.
it does. It's very interesting that folk knew that before it was a thing. Because whenever I get a cut, I just immediately put it in my mouth because I got told that it's like good for me. But like, it's interesting that folk knew that before we knew. But to spit for luck is common. If a bargain was sealed, folk would like wet their thumbs with spit and then press them together. I think you see this in films quite a lot, like folk pressing their thumbs together to like a deal.
Young ragtag team sort of, young rascals.
Spitting in your palm to shake hands to like sign a deal. Yeah. And, the sign of the cross was made when spitting in the palm of the hand whilst chanting in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then it was changed to the normal cross, like across your head and chest. And it was also lucky to spit in the hair for your home before you left. And then you would take good luck throughout the day. In some areas, it was believed that a birthmark could be removed if a mother licked it for 9 days. It doesn't say if it was 9 days on the trot. Or if it was just like once every day for 9 days.
Oh, as in like, well, maybe it would be removed if she did it for 9 days continuously because her tongue would become like sandpaper and just take the skin off.
Like a cat. It was also believed that spit could reduce pain. And when corporal punishment was still legal, boys regularly spat on their hands before getting slapped with the taws. Fun fact, the taws were actually made in Logelli, which is like 2 minutes down the road for me, and you can still buy Logelli taws on eBay. Like, folk collect them. If someone tripped on entering a house, they had to kiss their thumb for good luck. So if you trip through the doorway, you... And then it's kind of like throwing salt or sugar kind of thing. You've quickly got to do something. And if a child fell and hurt themselves, their parents might say, laugh. Come here and I'll kiss it better. That's where it comes from. Come here and I'll kiss it better. That comes from saliva's curative properties. Fishermen and sailors also had their own custom today with spit, where they would spit on a coin and toss it overboard before setting out to sea. It was also lucky to spit on the first coin ever earned whilst it was in the palm of the hand, and then making the sign of the cross over it would avert evil spirits.
Me millionth dollar.
So that would keep evil spirits away and would keep good luck in your new job.
Good for them.
Speaking of coins which are made of metal.
That's a reach. That's a reach.
Yeah, I know.
We've done worse.
We thought we'd speak on iron again since we've mentioned it a million, million times. There isn't much more for us to add, but I did find some stuff whilst I was doing my research for this.
Me too.
So obviously, to refresh your memories, iron is typically used to ward off evil spirits. But I read in my Scottish Customs and Superstitions book that iron nails were hammered into trees to relieve toothache.
I've heard of people ironing, putting iron into trees. I can't remember why, but I never heard of it for that. I just heard of it for like good luck or something.
That's I don't know if it's just like the action of like hammering something forcefully into a tree might take your mind off the fact that you've got bad toothache. Take the hammer and turn it around and knock your tooth out. Like if it was back in the day.
Western medicine. Nice.
Yeah.
For me personally, in general, when I was researching iron, I found it a really like neat thing I hadn't heard of before. So like in ye olden times, I don't know what era exactly, it was not uncommon for children's like bedside table things to be made from iron frames, and this was to stop fey folk from coming in and stealing the child in the middle of the night, which ties back in to changeling. Yeah, when you're talking about changing, so I was like, oh, I am closing this episode.
Love. I mean, that's it for Scottish Customs and Superstitions. I mean, we'll probably be back in 10 episodes to do this again, because I would love any excuse to talk about the language of flowers again.
Yeah.
And obviously there's like the White Rose of Scotland and stuff like that. But if you want to hear any Scottish customs or superstitions spoke about in our next episode, send them to your email, thecreepyweepodcast@gmail.com. You can send us a DM on Twitter or Instagram at thecreepyweepodcast, Twitter at thecreepyweepod, or you can submit a contact form on our website at thecreepyweepodcast.co.uk. Please rate and review, 5 stars or nothing else. Subscribe, turn the wee bell on or whatever. We actually do have a YouTube channel if you're interested in getting your podcasts via YouTube. I've uploaded all the episodes so gruelingly done by our host Acast.
Club, no sleep, another club, bus, another club. It was giving. Anyway, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.